Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. Did you know that? You don't really expect me to change these opening words, but I just want to remind you that what I'm saying is really true. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today on that forbidden subject, aging. I suppose the reason that nobody is allowed to talk about aging is that those who really are obviously aging, like me and my contemporaries, don't want to hear it from the younger people. We don't want to admit it to each other, because then that's like saying that the people who graduated in my class from Wheaton College in 1948 are all old, and they don't want to hear that from me. And if I say it to somebody older than I am, then they say, "Oh, nonsense, you're just a child." But the fact is, we are all aging. And I'm talking to every one of you listeners out there. Because every stage of life is a preparation for the next. I think a lot about what sort of an old person will I be when I get to be in my 80s, for example. If I'm in my 60s now, what am I going to learn between now and when I'm in my 80s? And I think that the kind of old person that you turn out to be is going to depend on what sort of young person, what sort of middle-aged person, what sort of golden-aged or keen-aged or whatever you want to call yourself if you're over 50 person you are. In Romans 14:7, it says, "The truth is that we neither live nor die as self-contained units. At every turn, life links us to the Lord. And when we die, we come face to face with Him. In life or death, we are in the hands of the Lord. Christ lived and died that He might be the Lord in both life and death." Now, I find my security right there. At every turn, life links us to the Lord. Are you one who enjoys getting those outrageous, ridiculous birthday cards denying the fact of aging? I hope you're not one who chooses that kind to send to your friends. It doesn't seem to me to be an appropriate attitude for a Christian because of these words that I've just read to you from Paul's letter to the Romans. At every turn, life links us to the Lord. In life or death, we are in the hands of the Lord. And to me, that is cause for rejoicing, it's cause for thanksgiving, and it gives me a deep and settled confidence. Am I talking to some people today who feel that they're in midlife crisis? Well, that's a phrase that has only been invented in recent decades. I don't know who came up with it, but I'd like to wring his neck, because I think it's a label that really covers a multitude of foolishness, not to mention a multitude of sins. If we have what we might call a midlife crisis in a legitimate sense, then I would say that it should be a period of assessment. It's reasonable that when you pass the age of 40, you realize that at least half of your life is probably over, that some of your youthful dreams are not going to be fulfilled. Some of your aspirations are dissolving before your very eyes. You may feel that, relatively speaking, nothing has been accomplished. You look at other contemporaries and you think of all the things that they've done, and you wonder whatever happened to your ambitions. Time is beginning to look short. A midlife crisis may be an experience of emptying. But what is the Christian response to any experience of emptying? Has Jesus been over this road before? Well, as far as we know, Jesus was only about 33 years old when he died. So his human life on earth did not include what we would think of as the process of aging. And yet, it certainly included the process of emptying. In fact, it began with that. Look at his emptying himself. It says in Philippians 2 that he, being in the form of God, made himself nothing, denied himself, gave up all of his rights, annihilated himself, and came into this world, took upon himself the form of a servant, and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Christ's emptying of himself was a voluntary and total obedience unto death. Compare that with our temptation to rebellion, to denial, to refusal of the emptying that old age is bound to bring. I'd like to read a quotation from a man named Hans Urs von Balthasar. I'm not sure that I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Hans Urs, U-R-S, von Balthasar, that's V-O-N-B-A-L-T-H-A-S-A-R. And it's in a book called In the Fullness of Faith. This is what he says. God chooses the descending path into matter, not only in order to meet man intimately and in his totality, but also in order to show him the full meaning of salvation that resides in man's relation to matter, namely that souls are defenselessly open to one another in the medium of the senses. Now, that's not the end of the quotation yet, and I've probably already lost some of you. It's a rather high-sounding way of putting the words of Philippians 2. When Jesus Christ left his home and the ivory palaces in heaven and came down here to earth, this is the way von Balthasar puts it. He chooses the descending path into matter. In other words, the material stuff of this world, not only in order to meet man intimately, that is, right here where we are and in human flesh, but in his totality, and also in order to show him the full meaning of salvation that resides in man's relation to matter, namely that souls are defenselessly open to one another in the medium of the senses. We hear each other, we speak to each other, we feel each other. To go on with von Balthasar's quote, the fact that man is fettered to vulnerable, corruptible bodiliness is something crucifying and humiliating, but it also has something glorious in store, which will shine forth at the resurrection of the flesh. In his kenosis, and that's the Greek word for emptying, and I'm still quoting from von Balthasar, in his kenosis, God shows man that right from the outset, he, man, is constructed according to a kenotic or an emptying principle. It is precisely in this self-emptying and poverty that he will become and already is rich and glorious. And so for me, the process of aging, when I look at it in that light, is a process of increasing in riches and glory. Because the more I am emptying myself of all that the flesh involves, and the more my heart is weaned away from material things, away from the visible things, to the invisible, the more glorious, the more peaceful, and the richer my life is becoming. And I can testify that that is happening. And I'm so grateful. When my father, Philip E. Howard Jr., was 43 years old, his uncle, Uncle Charlie, died. My father was sick with the flu when Uncle Charlie died, and the word depressed him very greatly because my father had been the associate editor of a magazine called the Sunday School Times, of which Uncle Charlie was the editor. My father knew very well that Uncle Charlie had been grooming him for the position of editor. So when the word came that Uncle Charlie had died, my father knew that it would be expected that he would step into his shoes. Well, my grandfather, my father's father, was also ill when this news about Uncle Charlie's death came. But my grandfather got out of his sickbed and walked the 2 blocks to our house, went up to my father's room, sat down beside his sickbed, and he said, "Philip, we are still under the same management. Uncle Charlie has died. Your responsibilities will be increased. But we are under the same management. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who gives the orders. Your circumstances may change, or you and I may be required to carry on year after year, maybe with no change in management or purpose. But let's remember, it's Jesus Christ who gives the orders. It's His word, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more." In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, we read, "Thanks be to God who leads us wherever we are on Christ's triumphant way and makes our knowledge of Him spread throughout the world like a lovely perfume." And when I think of those words, leads us, I think not geographically, but chronologically. He leads us wherever we are in this aging process on His triumphant way and makes our knowledge of Him spread throughout the world like a lovely perfume. The other day, my sister-in-law, Lovelace Howard, gave a birthday lunch for me. And suddenly, in the middle of the lunch, and there were several other people sitting there, she turned to me and she said, "When did you go gray?" Well, we all just died laughing. I don't know when it happened, but somehow or other, Lovelace had missed it. And she noticed it then. I'm delighted to be gray. I'm delighted for every year that God has given me, and I pray that I may be a rejoicing old woman.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.